Hello, this is Auntie B's News with your business report for the week of May 19th. Sorry I missed you last week, but unfortunately, dear listeners, Auntie B's News was struck with a particularly nasty bout of PMS after hearing of the sickening lawsuits being waged between tampon manufacturers Playtex and Tampax. The civil trial began 2 weeks ago in Manhattan. Number two tampon dealer Playtex is suing number one tampon hawker Tampax for unfair competition. Lawyers for Playtex claim that Procter & Gamble, the owners of Tampax, advertised their new Tampax Pearl tampons falsely to gain a greater share of the tampon market. Playtex claims that Procter & Gamble wrongly criticized Playtex products and targeted Playtex customers in the quest to promote the Tampax Pearl. Quote, "They put a bullseye on the back of every Playtex wearer and said that's who they are going to get," says Playtex lawyer Jeffrey Schwab. Schwab described Procter & Gamble advertising claims, calling the Tampax Pearl, quote, "superior to the plastic most of you use today," end quote, as a false attack on Playtex's Gentle Glide plastic applicator tampon line. Richard Powers, president of Playtex's personal products division and the first witness at the trial, described Playtex's Gentle Glide line of tampons as the, quote, "heart of our company," end quote. Schwab described Playtex's fight against Procter & Gamble as a David and Goliath-type struggle. Though Playtex's $800 million in annual sales is nothing to sneeze at, Procter & Gamble's revenues are more than 50 times this, topping $60 billion per year. Since Procter & Gamble bought Tam Brands, the makers of Tampax, in 1997, the company has spent more than $110 million to research and develop a plastic applicator tampon that would compete directly with Playtex. Though Tampax controls 40% of the tampon market, about 10% more than Playtex, Playtex has traditionally been number one in sales of the plastic applicator tampon variety. Since launching the Tampax Pearl line of plastic applicator tampons last September, Procter & Gamble has spent more to promote this product than Playtex has spent on its entire product line, which includes everything from Banana Boat sunscreen and Mr. Bubble foam bath to Binky brand pacifiers. As a result, Playtex is suing for damages of more than $1 million. Procter & Gamble claims that its Pearl brand tampon is innovative enough to advertise as a, quote, "revolutionary new tampon that is extraordinary in every way," end quote. In particular, says Procter & Gamble lawyer Harry Weinberger, the Tampax Pearl has an improved shape and includes an absorbent braid rather than a string. Weinberger argues that Playtex is trying to get the jury to help after consumers decided that the Tampax Pearl was superior to Playtex's Glide. In his opening comments, Weinberger went so far as to tell jurors that Playtex was using the case, quote, "to do damage to the principles upon which our economy is based," end quote. What principles are those, Andy Beesneys would like to ask? Principles of misogyny, perhaps? Both Playtex and Procter & Gamble, like most multi-million dollar corporations, are controlled by male executives. Of Procter & Gamble's 18 directors, only two are female, and only two of Playtex's 11 directors are women. None of Playtex's division presidents or vice presidents is a woman. The lawyers for both sides in this case are men, while the witnesses and, astonishingly, the jury are also mostly male. At the trial opening, Playtex lawyer Jeffrey Schwab felt compelled to apologize to the predominantly male jury for his awkwardness in describing female anatomy and the use of tampons. "Gee, Playtex, maybe you should have hired one of your Gentle Glide customers to represent your company instead." In a counterclaim to be decided by this same male-dominated jury, Procter & Gamble is seeking to stop Playtex from advertising that its Glide tampons are, quote, "so comfortable that you can't even feel them." According to Weinberger, quote, "women do feel tampons, and sometimes they're uncomfortable," end quote. Well, pardon me, Mr. Weinberger, but how the hell would you know? Have you got a secret uterus and vagina hiding underneath that three-piece suit tucked somewhere behind the giant balls you must possess to be able to say something this ridiculous in a court of law? Any look at our bodies ourselves or other women's health books will inform you that the walls of the vagina aren't exactly the most sensitive areas of the female anatomy. How else would we be able to cope with babies clawing their way out of there during childbirth? From my experience, a woman is unlikely to feel anything that's not moving around in there. Quite frankly, women aren't supposed to feel tampons unless they're in the wrong position, of the wrong size, or causing toxic shock syndrome. Which brings me to my next point. For the thousands of dollars these companies are spending to have their male lawyers bicker about feminine hygiene in court, and for the hundreds of millions of dollars each company has spent to advertise their tampons, you would think they might be able to spend some cash on developing safer and more environmentally friendly alternatives to their rayon bleach and pesticide-laden products. Both Tampax and Playtex tampons contain rayon, reconstituted wood pulp, whose production involves the use of many chemicals. Aside from this chemical residue, rayon fibers from these tampons can be left behind in the vaginal walls, where they become become the breeding ground for bacteria that cause toxic shock syndrome. Both Playtex and Tampax bleach the cotton and rayon used in their products. Traces of chemicals left behind by this process include cancer-causing dioxins, which are given contact with the vagina's sensitive mucous membranes each time a tampon is inserted. And both companies use inorganic cotton in their tampons, which is grown using as many as 35 different pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides, residues of which also find their way into the female body through prolonged tampon use. This is not to mention the environmental consequences of billions of disposable tampons and their plastic and cardboard applicators, which wind up in landfills and on beaches every year. How Playtex and Tampax can maintain their 70% share of the tampon market in light of these horrifying facts is beyond me, especially when safe and environmentally friendly alternatives are widely available, many from companies run by and for women. Eco Yarn Company has a U.S.-based mail-order business distributing tampons made from all-organic cotton. Bio Business, based in Toronto, Canada, is a woman-run company that distributes Terrafem applicator-free tampons made from surgical-grade long-fiber cotton. Natracare, based in the U.K., sells organic GMO-free cotton tampons in both applicator and applicator-free varieties. Other options include reusable natural rubber menstrual cups like the Keeper, using natural sea sponges, or making your own pads out of natural cotton. With so many women-friendly and environmentally sustainable options available, it's easier than ever for women to take charge of their own bodies by saying goodbye to the likes of Playtex and Tampax. While Playtex and Tampax hash it out in Manhattan, 34 multinational corporations come under fire in another New York courtroom this week, accused of supporting South Africa's former apartheid regime and its human rights violations. The case is being brought by a team of U.S. and South African lawyers on behalf of tens of thousands of victims of apartheid. One of the team's lawyers, Ed Fagan, won a $1.25 billion settlement from Swiss banks last year in reparations for families of victims of the Holocaust. The apartheid claimants are asking for more than $100 billion in compensation from companies including Deutsche Bank, Credit Suisse, Barclays, IBM, Ford, Royal Dutch Shell, ExxonMobil, and Citigroup. The suit accuses these and 26 other companies of aiding and abetting apartheid, both financing and profiting from the regime by providing investment, technology, and high-interest loans, sometimes in violation of international sanctions. The list of defendants includes computer companies such as IBM, accused of providing the technology that enabled apartheid segregation policies to be enforced, as well as banks that helped to keep the repressive white regime afloat by rescheduling its debts after the imposition of United Nations trade sanctions. Energy and automotive companies, arms manufacturers, mining, chemical, pharmaceutical, and food companies which held investments in apartheid-era South Africa are also targeted. The companies have agreed not to comment on the lawsuit, but are expected to argue that their presence and investments improved the country's economy for the benefit of all South Africans. The apartheid reparations lawsuit, which is expected to last several years, is being pursued in the American courts under the 1789 Alien Torts Claims Act, an 18th-century statute that allows any individual to file for damages over human rights abuses against companies that do business in the United States. South Africa's current government, already in delicate talks with companies and banks over mineral rights and equity control of white-dominated companies, is opposing the litigation in the belief that it will curb investment in post-apartheid South Africa. But many victims of apartheid-era violence and repression view the suit as a last-ditch effort to claim reparations for the effect of state-sponsored racism on their lives. These people and their supporters feel that justice has yet to be served. While some of the apartheid regime's architects and perpetrators have been granted official amnesty under the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, apartheid victims have yet to receive any direct compensation from government or business. And that's a wrap for this week's Business Report. Signing off, this is Auntie Beesneys reminding you to put your money where your mouth is and invest ethically.